Launched in 2005, GC Pooling quickly developed into a highly liquid market for collateralized financing, tightening liquidity conditions in the Eurozone following a prolonged period of excess liquidity is driving banks to reevaluate their funding liquidity sources. On this episode, we will discuss the benefits of using GC Pooling, what does it mean, and what can we expect. Welcome to The Financial Bite. This episode is brought to you by Eurex in collaboration with Finadium. I'm your host, Annie Schmidt, and together we will explore leading topics in finance and economics, interviews with thinkers, movers, and shakers in global finance to learn what's happening and what's next. Today we talk with Frank Gast, Managing Director and member of the Management Board of Eurex Repo. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Anais. Thank you for inviting me, and it's a pleasure being with you today.
We also have with us Carsten Hiller, Head of Central Europe Funding and Financing, FIC Sales. Great to have you on the podcast, Carsten.
Hi, Anais. Thank you very much, and good afternoon. Pleasure to be here.
Together, we're going to discuss Eurex's GC Pooling, launched in 2005, which quickly developed into a highly liquid market for collateralized financing. On this matter, Frank, what was going on in the European market that required the GC Pooling facility to be set up initially?
Thank you, Anais. Of course, as you mentioned before, we launched GC Pooling in 2005, which was some years before the financial crisis and the Lehman default, when things got really dynamic. Originally, GC Pooling was used by the German securities financing and money market community. And this was mainly driven by the fact that we were innovating a new tool for money market traders to trade big sizes to manage their liquidity needs via standardized baskets with an automated allocation of securities, which always was a big issue for money market traders to do repo and to allocate securities in a very short time frame. So when we introduced GC Pooling, this was a perfect tool to manage liquidity very effectively in an anonymous standardized way via a CCP. So in 2008, when the more or less unsecured money market dried up and all the credit lines in the bank market were massively reduced, this was the perfect tool. And in addition, treasury and money market managers appreciated the possibility to reuse collateral they received in GC Pooling with a reverse repo or another GC Pooling transaction, as well as to reuse the collateral for margin requirements at Eurex Clearing. What happened in recent years, in March 2020, with the outbreak of the coronavirus, for example, and the pandemic and the stressed environment, GC Pooling again proved to be a crisis tool for such situation to manage your short-term cash. Because for a couple of years, GC Pooling was not as extensively used as until 2015, when we have quantitative easing program of the ECB and the last couple of years with excess liquidity. But whenever it comes to a situation where stress is in the market, and you need a tool to manage your cash effectively, we did see a big uptick on GC Pooling activities.
Carsten, you were a trader during the global financial crisis. Tell us a bit about why GC Pooling made a difference to your trading operations then.
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, by that time, I was a trader at the Dresdner Bank, Dresdner Kleinwort, and we've been one of the first banks using GC Pooling. So we were supporting Eurex Repo right from the beginning and from the start. So we believed already in the idea of having a secured money market product. And we were, by that time, already quite big fans of automated trading platforms with all the advantages of straight-through processing. And here with GC Pooling, we saw the big advantage of having a collateralized secured money market product on a trading platform, anonymous trading, and collateral management with reuse functionality on the back of it. When we started GC Pooling, it was mainly used by the German community, but then it started growing really fast. And then especially during the financial crisis, 2008-2009, many banks realized how important it is to have let's say, a tool in place where you can raise cash liquidity anonymously. And we can see what happens if you start losing trust in the market. So we've just seen it in the recent events with the Silicon Valley Bank and with Credit Suisse. These banks, they lost the trust of their clients and of their counterparts. And during the financial crisis, there was a lack of trust. So banks didn't trust each other, and credit lines were reduced. And here we saw this lack of trust, and GC pooling was the right tool at the right time, so that banks who didn't get cash in the market because of this lack of trust could raise liquidity via GC pooling anonymously, because no one sees who's behind it. So for the market overall, it was really good that we had already this tool in place, and many banks could benefit from it. And afterwards, we've seen a huge increase in banks applying for membership, and the number of active clients and members in GC pooling massively increased. During the European sovereign debt crisis in 2011-2012, when both peripheral and major European countries faced serious financial stability concerns, for example, from Greece, and we had a number of clients from those countries urgently requesting admission to our markets, which has, of course, strict admission criteria to become a clearing member. And within a few years, GC pooling went from 40 to 160 active clients, and daily outstanding volumes peaked in June 2014 above 200 billion.
Frank, it seems obvious that there is a correlation between ECB excess liquidity and GC pooling volumes in the recent years. Can you explain this?
Yes, of course, Anais. There's been various situations since 2015 that cash injections by the ECB had direct impacts on our GC pooling markets and in general to the secured money markets. And let's take the example of quantitative easing since 2015 and with excess liquidity in the market, where banks simply didn't have the need to pull cash in our markets, or they invested cash simply at the ECB to better rates than in our markets. So we have seen this over years, that there's a big or more or less almost a one-to-one correlation between the ECB policy and our activities in GC pooling markets. Therefore, also it's of interest now to see the determination of interest rates, also quite important, that in the past we were able to provide the market above deposit levels, which made it quite attractive for cash providers to be active in our markets. And therefore, over the recent years, we were trading below deposit rates on low volumes and even around the ESTA levels. And we now see ECB pulling out step by step out of this artificial market environment, which they have created over years, handing over now responsibility back to the market players themselves. And we now see, in particular, since 12 months now, more an increase in activities, banks coming back, becoming active again in GC pooling, looking at interesting and attractive rates again with the interest rate moves from the ECB, and a significant increase of activities in traded volume and our outstanding volumes. So this has been a very big correlation to the ECB policy. On one side, the downturn over years with the excess liquidity, and now with the change in market environment on levels and TLTRO repayments from bank, that this seems to be, again, quite attractive time for GC pooling to revive. And that's what we expect and what we already see and that what clients are telling us.
Thank you, Frank. Coming back to you, Carsten, what should the market expect with further repayments of its targeted long-term refinancing operations program, known as TLTRO? And what do you think will be the impact on GC pooling? What do you expect from the ECB's decision to set a ceiling for sovereign deposits at ESTR minus 20 as of 1st of May? Does this offer new business opportunities for you?
Well, this is a good question. We have seen already a huge amount of voluntary repayments of the big TLTRO tranche, which expires in June this year. At the moment, I think we have about 500 billion still outstanding, so which is a bit more of half a trillion compared to the 1.3 billion that have been allotted 3 years ago. And the excess liquidity came down a bit, so from, I would say, about 4.4 trillion to almost 4.04 trillion. So it's not massively reduced the excess liquidity. And I think excess liquidity will play an important role in the future. So I think we're still far away from, let's say, normal conditions. However, coming back to your question and the impact on our markets, I still believe that GC pooling will further grow and will, let's say, gain back the importance it has, as I described it before. So that it will now be becoming, again, a management tool for daily cash and liquidity management. And we've seen last year increasing volumes in GC pooling when the ECB changed their wording and the market anticipated first rate hikes. The curve got steeper, which offered again new trading opportunities for banks. And we've seen increasing term business in GC pooling. And then after the first rate hikes by the ECB, the clients and the market realized, I think we are now moving back into a more normal environment, which means that there will become a point in time where banks need to refinance themselves again via repos. And the short-term liquidity and end liquidity will have a value again, and short-term liquidity will be of importance. Coming back to your question of the change of the remuneration for the sovereign deposits as of 1st of May at ISTA minus 20. Frank said already that we've seen an increase in GC pooling rates and that we are already trading above ISTA, still slightly below the deposit facility. But looking at this remuneration policy, ISTA minus 20 would mean that there's still an advantage in trading repos at a level above ISTA to avoid any kind of loss or against your benchmark. If you have, let's say, the benchmark deposit facility or the ISTA rate, and you get a remuneration of ISTA minus 20, then you're making a loss on your trading book. And for this reason, I would say that the debt management offices or other sovereign institutions, they have to get more active in the repo market. A few are already quite active in the repo market, and others are already preparing to get active pretty soon in the repo market. And this will be via, let's say, GC pooling or standard general collateral trading or tri-party repo. And for us, we see a major advantage of GC pooling. As we described before, it's an automated product, centrally cleared, and on an anonymous basis. So here's the clear advantage for institutions that are generally quite risk averse. And for them, the counterparty risk is key, and to have it collateralized. And usually the collateral criteria these institutions accept are quite restrictive. And here we offer, with the main GC pooling basket, the ECB and the Extend basket, a quite opportunity to invest this cash. And you would ever find, let's say, counterparts taking liquidity at levels around ISTA or, let's say, below the deposit facility.
And how do you estimate the expiry of the big TLTRO 3 tranche in June?
So there was already a huge amount of voluntary repayments, and there's still about 500 billion outstanding. And this won't reduce massively the excess liquidity, as I said. At one point in time, I think the ECB will come to the market with a kind of absorbing facility. But I think this is a bit in the future. By then, I would say we will see, and what we heard already from market participants, increasing demand for financing solutions for non-high quality paper. So the high quality assets have already been returned to the market. So I would say that here we already benefiting from this and currently are used in the GC pooling transactions. And for the remaining part, my view is that this is, let's say, part of lower collateral paper. So it could be eligible for the GC pooling extended basket. So we could see here increasing activity going from June onwards. And at one point in time, as I said, we will see the ECB coming with some kind of absorbing measures and then to bring back excess liquidity into a normal territory and to bring back the market in a normal environment. As I said, that the banks have to refinance themselves via not only the standard repo market, but also via ECB's main refinancing operations. Yeah. So at the moment, everyone is looking at the ISDA on one side and on the deposit facility on the other side. There's still a long way to go coming back to the normal conditions, normal money market conditions. What I further expect in the future and after the expiry of the big TLTRO3 tranche is that we will see also increasing demand, not only for financing solutions for lower quality collateral, but also an increasing demand for LCR trades terms, LCR terms and NSFR terms. Now, banks still had, let's say, plenty of liquidity from these longer dated transactions. But in the future, this will become more a key topic for the banks.
Talking about the future, Frank, since we are on the topic, what's next in product development for GC pooling and the Eurex repo markets? Which other products and initiatives development will drive your growth in 2023?
Of course, innovation and product development is key and crucial for the success. Been known to keep innovation very high and implement new initiatives on a regular basis. And we will continue to do so. And now for 2023, there are two big elements we're concentrating on from a product perspective. Is the extension to additional buy-side clients to further attract liquidity in our markets and be able to provide an ecosystem for banks to enable netting between client business and their own prop business. So we have started to innovate a model on the clearing side to allow access for pension funds, insurance companies, corporates in recent years, and they have become an important part of our GC pooling markets. Executed trades via request for quotes, not direct access to the order book. And at the moment, with all the excess liquidity, they are main cash providers in the market. Given regulation, we do see the need, and those big buy-side firms as well, to have an increasing demand or need to raise cash, for example, to fulfill their margin requirements. We have uncleared margin rules, phase five, phase six recently been implemented. So there are good reasons why you need to be able to raise cash immediately, in particular with increasing rates and maybe a stressed environment, what I mentioned before, where GC pooling is known to be a very effective and efficient tool. So we are continuing to now also provide access to a deleveraged funds, i.e. hedge funds community, which so far have not been on our list. And we needed to provide develop an updated guarantee model for clearing agents. We call it our indemnified repo model, which is part of our ISA Direct family. And the indemnified model is basically that the clearing agents, other players call it sponsor, of those hedge funds are indemnifying or guaranteeing in case of a loss of a hedge fund to minimize the impacts to the clearinghouse and other clients. So therefore, I think like that's kind of at the moment being rolled out with the pilot phase. We have a handful of clearing agents who are planning to support this extension to the buy side. And we have four clients at the moment who are in the admission process and planning to execute their first trades by mid of this year as part of the pilot phase. So buy-side cleared repo is one of our strategic priorities and very important for the product development part. Secondly, we want to continuously increase the securities used in GC pooling and broaden also the set of securities being used. And here, where we are used and very known for the liquidity in SSA segment, we have a new player coming on board with the EU Commission. And they have recently announced their new funding strategy to harmonize their different issuance they had in the past under shore bonds, under green bonds, under NGEU bonds, which will be harmonized under one umbrella with EU bonds. And they will certainly become a very important part of the market. Their aim is to position themselves as a sovereign in the market. And we would like and do support those activities to broaden also the use of collateral in GC pooling with those EU bonds. So that's another important part of our product development activities. And then, of course, finally, we continue to listen to our clients, what they need in terms of functionality to improve our trading system called F7 on an ongoing basis with releases, which we do every 6 months. So that's also part of our product development.
Frank, what else is important for you and for the industry?
I think one area we look into is to also look into different currencies and different baskets to be used. So one further analysis is to look at US treasuries. We already do today offer US dollar cash in GC pooling as the only market outside the US traded in repo via a CCP. And we are planning also to set up maybe US treasury baskets to support US cash handling with the underlying domestic collateral. And secondly, to also maybe look into other areas like JGBs and JGB baskets denominated in JGBs. That's another part. So broaden currencies and baskets is also something which we investigate and analyze what can be done there.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, maybe let me start to build the bridge to, let's say, our other products we are offering. You know that we are also active in the derivative space. And now looking at the recent turmoils we've seen in the market and insolvency of the Silicon Valley Bank, this shows the importance not only of proper refinancing tools and liquidity management, but also to hedge your asset liabilities properly and having the right swaps in place so that you don't run into this mismatch of facing huge losses from raising interest rates and being hedged properly is quite important. And here we have the best of two worlds. So we offer on the one side repo tools and repo market services for refinancing operations. And on the other side, you can clear your OTC and interest rate swaps via Eurex clearing to have the proper hedge in place.
Frank, anything you want to add to that?
Anais, you spoke about the future. And I think like what we need to consider also for the future is the next generation coming on our to the trading desks. We see almost every month a lot of new traders. Banks have started, or firms have started to hire again after a long period of not being able to expand teams. And with this new generation coming to the desks, very keen to trade, but not used to the now changing positive environment. They are only familiar with maybe the negative interest rate environment in the recent years, which makes it quite challenging. And as we said at the beginning, GC pooling is much more intensively being used until 2015. And now we see a re-engagement of many clients. So we think like we need to educate again this next generation, not only on this product, but in general about market environments. We've recently published white papers and articles to explain not new functionalities, but how our products work. And this is extremely important with the complexity, not only for regulation, but internally for risk, for accounting. And if we talk about netting benefits for banks, you have many stakeholders internally within your organizations on risk, accounting, business managers, which we want to help educating to use those tools which are in place. So I think like that's important for us when we look into the future and make sure the next generation is actively engaged and helps to stabilize markets and facilitates this market infrastructure.
Thank you, Carsten, Frank, for your time and knowledge. We are now moving towards the end of the interview, and as you know, we always end episodes with financial bites. It's not usual for me to share a financial bite, but lately I've been working on a new project with an Iranian painter who has greatly touched me, actually. In particular, the way she sees the world is very interesting, and I think it's beautiful. In her studio, she has all these small writings written in pencil on the wall, just on the corner of her paintings. She basically writes daily reminders or quotes for when she gets stuck in her art. One of the phrases that really caught my attention was, "Wait without waiting for anything, with an opening where there is." When I saw it, I wrote it down immediately. In some way, I really needed to remind myself about patience and being able to open when nothing is moving. So this is my financial bite for listeners and also for you guys.
Good, interesting. Thanks for sharing.
Good, thanks for sharing.
Is there anything you would like to add to that?
So I'm very much a fan of traveling around the world with my wife. We've done several loads of backpacking tours in the past. The two of us around the world, apart from Australia, I think, like, we visited all continents, and Australia is still on our list. And we are trying to do the same with our kids, to also educate them and learn the world, learn cultures, meet people from different continents, and also understand how they live, how they speak, educate them with languages, etc. One experience we made last year, and this is particular my son, he was traveling to Kenya last year with his school with about 20 kids, and they spent 2 weeks in a remote village without electricity and without water. And he is about 16 now. And this had a significant impact on the way he thinks and he behaves at home, and also now understanding how are things at different countries in different circumstances. How difficult is it to get water from 2 hour walk, get back home, and not only standing in your shower and drinking and spending water wherever you want. This had so much of an impact to him, and we appreciate it. That he understood how things are being done differently in different parts of the world. And we were grateful of that experience, which had a significant impact on him.
That's a beautiful experience. Happy your son had the chance to have that realization. It very much starts from the parents, doesn't it? They introduce you to what it means to live in this world. It's not only your bubble, it's much more than that. And of course, it's our responsibility also as individuals to be curious and get out there and not get stuck in our routine. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Frank. Karsten, anything you would like to add?
Ah, well, now I have something. And it's related to a hobby, yeah, which me and my wife, we started it now in summer 2 years ago. Yeah, and it's rowing on the river. So actively, and it's a first we did a kind of, let's say, beginner's course, yeah, and it's, you think, or my wife thought, it's pretty straightforward, yeah, being once a few times to the gym and then using this machine, and then it should be the same, but then it's completely different, yeah, because you work in a team. You're doing everything yourself, but you have to function as a team. It's a kind of complex sport to bring everything under control and then being aligned and synchron with the others. And then you really feel when it really works, yeah, in a team, and everyone is moving at the same time. You really feel how you move the boat and how you move forward, and this is a great experience. And then the best thing is once you're sitting there on in the boat on the river, you're having a completely different view and perspective from the landscape, from the scenery around you. Yeah, so you're seeing your own city from a completely different perspective, and I think this is quite good feeling, and especially, as I said, you think it's quite easy and straightforward, It's a complex process, yeah, which you really have to learn. And it only works if you work as a team and you function as a team.
Actually, you know, if we put it all in perspective, these financial bites really are kind of the same thing. It's about getting out of your comfort zone, looking at things with a different perspective, being open and ready to adapt to new situations. It very much applies also to the financial world, as you were saying before, Frank, and also Karsten, you touched on it. There is the need to constantly re-educate oneself. We continuously need to change the way we look at the world, as we tend to forget that change is very much part of life itself. Again, thank you for your time, Frank. Karsten, hope to see you back on the Financial Bite.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Anais.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Financial Bite. We invite you to visit our website on finadium.com and to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for additional content.